This is a sort of continuation from Tuesday's teaching, and it's all about the deeper life, why we receive the deeper life, its purpose, its aim. But one of the things that we must remember in our teachings that we have week after week, and we're mightily blessed in the Word, that this is a sovereign work of the Holy Spirit, and He is the one who comes to execute God's will in our lives. And this work is so intricate that you cannot really put it into words. Psychiatry, medicine can't even begin to do what God is doing in and through us, how He's restoring us back into a full relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ in this world while we're sojourners. And we forget sometimes that the Holy Spirit does this work. We are aware that He comes to teach us and to lead us and guide us and bless us, but He's also come as our deliverer. He's also come as the potter molding this clay. He's also come knowing and knows every shred of hair, every head of hair on our head. He's the one that's come that knows us better than ourselves. He's the one that's come to spiritually restore us, to deliver us, to bring us back in a walk of faith that is pleasing to God. Without the Holy Spirit, this cannot and will not be achieved. In fact, you will raise your hands in despair that this is impossible. And this is why we walk by faith and not by sight. And this is why the faith teaching was given to us at the beginning of our early walk. Whatever has happened in the past, it's history. But one thing we can be well assured, and that is God made no mistake in presenting to us that a group of first fruits, overcomers, would mature and come to a place where they can walk in this life totally by faith, trusting God. But it has been a work of deliverance. It is removing the hindrances, and of course the biggest hindrance is us, our will, our pride. But even God is greater and bigger than that. And that is why we can confidently come together in fellowship, knowing that God has made no mistake in those whom He calls from the foundation of the world. What we are to do is to believe, look to Jesus, and overcome and endure to the end. And that will be a clear sign to you and to the church and to the world and to the powers of darkness that you have been called from the foundation of the world. And that is the work of the Holy Spirit, who's come to move alongside in your life and my life that we can be totally dependent upon Him. When we are finally totally dependent upon the Holy Spirit and His work in each of our lives, I think we probably come to that degree of perfection where the church will be raptured and called away. But we're still in progress. The Holy Spirit is still working on us. And I know sometimes at times we get a bit tired of this. Give me a break. I would like something new, something different. But we're going to lay our crowns before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and we're going to bless and praise Him for His infinite wisdom, how He never stopped, He never gave up on us, but continued to bring us in our journey back to these principles over and over again until we finally get it. And we will praise Him, because see, only God can do that. Man can't do that. Governments can't do that. And entertainment can't do that. Because the nature of man is he soon gets fed up with things. He gets fed up with his circumstances. He gets fed up with his new car. He gets fed up with his clothes. Gets fed up with his house. And even gets fed up with his spouse. That's what sin has done. But that is not to be found in us. For every time we come together, it is new manna. And so this is why I'm taking the time before I start to share with you moving on to perfection. Because I know we've heard this before. And here we are again, the Holy Spirit says that we need to hear it anew. Now, looking at perfection, of which we're to be, we know in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 48, Matthew chapter 5 and verse 48, we know clearly what Jesus said we are to be. And he says here, therefore you shall be perfect, just as your Father in heaven is perfect. Now, we can take great comfort and solace in this, because this is what Jesus is confessing over the disciples and over all his seed that he has and will redeemed through history. Listen to these words again. Therefore, you shall. That is a very powerful statement our Lord presents here. Therefore you shall be perfect. That is actually how it reads in the Greek. You shall be perfect, just as your Father in heaven is perfect. He doesn't say you might be perfect if you start believing and you are good and you obey me and you do what I say. No, God decrees over all those who are born again, filled with the Holy Spirit. He says, therefore you shall be perfect. Perfect. And that is what God has said. On our side, it's whether we choose to believe that or not. Because unbelief will say that is impossible. Only God is perfect. There's no way fallen man, even though he's reconciled back, can be perfect. Well, it's what you choose to believe. Because the overcomers are moving on to perfection. That is, they are moving on in their belief. that God can and has done this. Everything we receive is on the basis of faith. Every revelation that we see in the Word of God that we choose to believe, and God's Word is a revelation to man, is on the basis that we choose to believe. Doesn't go by feeling, doesn't go by what my walk has been this day, or you don't know what I've gone through this week, or I've just fallen so short of the standard of God. It's got nothing to do with that. That statement there that he says, therefore you shall be perfect, just as your Father in heaven is perfect, is on the basis of believing by faith. Now how God works that? That is the Holy Spirit's work. That's why I stressed his work that he does in and through us as I introduce this. You see, as we know and we've been taught, that perfection is not the same as sanctification. And this is a big confusion in the house of God. A lot of progressive sanctification has come about through the Puritans' teaching. Now, it's not to say that they're not saved, and it's not to say that what a lot they have to teach on is an absolute blessing, but they don't have insight on this. And it's because they have a problem with the word perfect, or its understanding. And it very often comes as a result of unbelief, a compromise. You see, the Bible shows us that the believer is sanctified through the new birth. That is what it presents. Therefore, we should be different from those that are in the world. That's what we should be if we're truly born again. If we're born again, we are sanctified. We are set apart. We know this because we're told in Scripture, for example in Romans 6, 18, that we're free from sin. Or we're a new creation in Christ, as it says in Romans 17. Romans 6, 2 says that we're dead to sin. 1 Peter 4, 1, it says that we've ceased from sin. But perfect is what we are to be, and there is the difference. And I am convinced that that is the basis, the root of the deeper life. Perfection comes by that open door through the baptism of the Holy Spirit, going as deep and as far as you want in the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, sanctification speaks in a sense of the past tense. For example, let's just look at 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 11. And such were some of you, but you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. That's what it speaks of regeneration. That's what the new birth, your faith, believing in the Lord Jesus Christ does. But you don't see perfection there. That is the work of salvation. There's no such thing as progressive sanctification, which is a lot of what the Puritans preached. And there's a reason for that, because if you preach progressive sanctification, this office leads to defeat. You don't really overcome these things, particularly things of the flesh. And this is where I'm convinced we get the two nature theory. And as we know, you are of one nature. Either you are of your old corrupt nature, or you are a new nature created in the Lord Jesus Christ. You have to decide. And as we always say, when you die, well, where are those two natures going to go then? So it gives itself away. And I know you've heard this before, but I think some of us really need to settle on this one, and it's going to help us to understand how God can work perfection in our lives. You see, Jesus said that we are to be perfect. I've already read this back to you in verse 48. Therefore, you shall be perfect, just as your heavenly Father is perfect in heaven, in other words. So we get the understanding here that this is a process, this is a working. And this is why the baptism of the Holy Spirit is essential for this work to be done in our lives, to be made perfect, just like our Heavenly Father is in heaven. Now, that in itself, you have to believe by faith. Because everything logically, mentally, physically says, well, you're crazy, that is impossible. But these statements, this is what makes God, God. This is what makes him the God of the impossible. What is impossible with man is possible with God. If you can believe, all things are possible. Now the question I'm going to raise and challenge with each of you is, are you believing, do you know that you are in faith for this perfect work being wrought in your life? Are you seeing the fruit of this coming in your lives? And only you can answer that before Almighty God. The pastor can't. Other teachers who teach can't tell you this. Only you can know this as you bring this before God and you talk this out with God. You see, God wants us to know these things more than we actually realize. Our problem is that we at times become hard of hearing. And the reason we become hard of hearing, because it's easier to hear this through a man preaching, in this case, about perfection. Because somehow we've got it in our minds, it can sort of slightly let me off the hook. Well, that's his view. And that's what he thinks, and that's what he is saying. So it's easier in many ways to believe through a preacher and a teacher or a prophet or an evangelist or whatever than actually you going before God in your closet and asking these questions where you will get it direct from him. Oh, I'm not so keen on that one. Wow, that means that when I get it like that, I've really got to do something about it. Well, brothers and sisters, that's entirely up to you. You see, you can lead a horse to a trough, but you can't make it drink. And I believe we're here tonight because we desire to drink that spiritual water that cleanses and washes us. But Jesus made it clear that we are to be perfect or perfected. You see, also the saints in the Bible, we're told, were perfect before God. We're told in Job 1 verse 8 that Job was perfect in God's sight. Noah in Genesis 6 9 was perfect in God's sight. Enoch, told in Genesis 5 22 and also in Hebrews 11 5, was perfect and was not because God took him. There's your first indication and sign of the rapture. We're told that Moses was perfect in God's sight. Well, how much more we now who are under a new covenant, greater promises, the blood of Jesus Christ, how much more then do we have the ability, the chance, the belief, to believe for this by faith in our lives, that he will bring me to that place of perfection in him. None of us are without excuse. This is achieved on the basis of believing. It's not by feelings, it's not by looking at circumstances, it's not by looking at your life and how you've walked or what your week was like, and you think to yourself, your mind will always say, well, you're a million miles away from being perfect. Faith has got nothing to do with that. It's your choice to believe in God's word and what he said. I'm going to read it again. Therefore, you shall be perfect just as your Father in heaven is perfect. That is what Jesus confessed. He confessed it over Peter, who denied him, who ran away from him. He confessed that. He confessed that over the disciples. All of them forsook him on that night of his betrayal. Does that change his statement way back then? No, it doesn't. The same as God's word doesn't change over your life and my life and whatever we're going through. God has decreed it. It's settled in heaven. And it will come to pass. It will never return to him void. Whatever he confesses, whatever God has purposed, and he has purposed for the overcomers, the first fruits, the bride that's making herself ready, that she will be perfect like her heavenly Father is in heaven, who is perfect. Just believe. How is this going to be achieved in our lives? Well, I've already given it to you, but turn with me, if you will, to 2 Timothy chapter 3. Now here, this should settle it once and for all. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, and you know this well. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. In other words, that is saying perfected, thoroughly equipped. It's what it's telling us there. It comes as we hear and read the word of God, this word that was breathed out unto us by the Holy Spirit, that we may be complete, thoroughly equipped for everything, for every good work. Perfected, in other words. And that should settle it for us. You see, we're not speaking about, as I've said many, many times, sinless perfection. That is not what we're talking about here. It's the perfection of character. It's you and I being worked on. It's how we live. It's how we conduct ourselves. It's how we overcome through temptations. It's how we overcome in this world. You know, there are believers who are consecrated, but don't believe for perfection. And that is most of Christendom. And that is why, sadly, so often the church is powerless. Because it doesn't believe for this. It doesn't believe that you and I can be made perfect like our Heavenly Father is. It will view such statements there in unbelief. But that is clearly what he says he will do. And this is why we make so much about the baptism of the Spirit. Because it is only the baptism of the Spirit can work this perfected work in our life. He's now working on your character. I spoke last week, didn't I, about the fruit of the Holy Spirit, that love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, meekness, temperance, and so on. We showed last week, didn't we, that in every trial, in every temptation, there is a fruit of the Spirit that can take over in your weakness, or in your trial, or in your temptation. It is there provided through the Holy Spirit. The problem is, saints are not taught this, to believe for this, that God has provided for every trial, everything we go through, every temptation. There is an opposite that we can draw from. All of this I'm speaking about, the life of Christ that lives in you, that wants to take over your life. We each of us have received the fullness of God. We now yield over to that fullness that lives in our lives. So that the fullness of God that lives in us, Christ who lives in us, he's the one that reaches out through us into this life and this world. He's the one that will speak through us. He's the one that will endure through us. He's the one that will love through us. He's the one that will heal through us and deliver through us. We're simply just that instrument. Out of our innermost beings flows those rivers of living water. Notice, they're living water. They're alive, not dead. There's so much presented to us today that is fundamentally dead. God is alive, living today. And us live his life in fullness in and through each one of us. It's not about you. It's not about me. Is it about Jesus? And that is why we too are to take up our cross daily and to follow him. Because it is the cross that will deal with this. We must never lose sight of Calvary and the cross. We must never lose sight as disciples that we too are to take up our cross daily and follow Jesus. That is what deals with the flesh life, the will that gets in the way. Now don't ask me how he does it. This is where God is a miracle working God. Don't ask me how he works that cross in your life, in your will. Just believe that he does. Just believe that every day in your confession, that is what I take up and I follow the Lord. Let God do the rest. And he will. And he will. If you are getting worried about the cross, if you are trying to analyze it, if you are trying to work it out, well, how does it work? Is it really working? I don't understand this. You know, I read it, you take up the cross, but I don't really understand how this works or whatever it is. You are to understand. That's the whole point. You are to understand these great deep theological truths in that sense. Have a mind of where then he will show you. And as you experience the cross that you take up daily and follow the Lord, then that makes you credible to be able to preach or teach it and to share it with those who don't understand, because it's your life, it's your experience. That is what sorts out the men from the boys. That is why those in teaching ministries, word ministries, must never rush a ministry like this. Sometimes it takes years and years for the Holy Spirit to work with a minister to bring him to that place of where his preaching and teaching comes from experience. In fact, it's a lifetime walk. I'm still learning. I'm not there yet. That is how the Holy Spirit works. Many times you cannot really explain how these things are working, because they bypass our mind, our intellect. They're from another realm, another world. All that God's doing in and through us is not of this world. It's from above. is from the throne of grace. And at times we forget that. We're still trying to logically, intellectually in our minds, try to assimilate and understand all of this. I can only understand by the Holy Spirit who reveals what he wants me to know. Flesh and blood does not give us. And it's the same with perfection. Just believe it. The same as a child does. And let the Holy Spirit, let God do the rest. And you'll know if it's working because you start to see a change in your life. You start to see what holiness is to do. Because we're separated unto holiness. We begin to see the fruit of the Spirit that is maturing in our life. This is all part of it in that perfecting work. This is how he does it. He brings us into his presence. Now, as I bring this to a conclusion, something that I believe the Lord revealed to me as I was preparing this, it's like the outer, the middle, and the inner court under the old covenant, how the sanctuary was built. Many remain in the outer court. Yes, they believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, they are sanctified. They are separated, set apart unto God. But somehow they stay in that position. And they go to churches that will let them remain in that place, spiritually speaking. And then there's the inner court, or the second chamber. And that is the baptism of the Holy Spirit, where you see there is more. But to receive more of God, you have to be empowered to receive more, and it takes the Holy Spirit to baptize us. However, if we do not set our heart and vision for the holies of holies, we're going to find that in time, if you remain just with the baptism but don't move on into a deeper life and walk, you're going to find that you can become very prone to the powers of darkness. And we have to be very on our guard here. Excuse me a minute. We have to be on our guard here. Because many have stopped at the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And this is why we have the confusion, and this is where the enemy has got in and sown his seed of confusion, Toronto blessing, and all this business that's gone on. And this has been a problem, and this is why so much of charismania has become a laughing stock. It's been ridiculed. And much of it now has just gone back, lost sight of its purpose, its aim, lost sight of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. But there is a remnant who received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, who also wanted the teaching that goes with it. And we were very blessed and fortunate to be able to see that there is an open door where we can go deeper through that experience. And that means that we go deeper, we are destined for the throne. It spiritually is saying that we enter into the holies of holies, where of course only the high priest under the old covenant could go in once a year to atone for the sin of Israel. That is the presence. That is why we're called a royal priesthood. And you have to have a vision for that. You have to have a heart for that. You have to be able to see that. because that is where you are made perfect. You cannot help but be made perfect the closer you get to God. That is its whole purpose and reason. And that is many ways what the Holy Spirit has been doing with us in Full Gospel Assembly. Showing the holies of holies. Showing that you can go as deep and as far as you want. Because that is part of the perfecting work in our lives. That is what develops us. You see, when Adam and Eve were created, they were created innocent. They were created holy, righteous in God's sight. But if they hadn't have sinned, I am convinced that their characters would have been perfected more and more and more in the sight of God and in relationship with God, communing with God. But man forfeited that through sin, through rebellion. But this is all being restored again, brought back to us as we walk daily with Jesus in relationship with Him. Every day, our lives, our character, our heart, our whole being is changing, developing into the likeness of Him. So that we express, this is why the ultimate goal, the fulfilling of the commandment, is to love God and to love our neighbor. That is the fulfilling. So our perfection in many ways is associated with love. And we know that by reading 1 Corinthians 13. In many ways, 1 Corinthians 13, fulfilling that, living that, which is there, is our perfection. Now, I said at the beginning, this is not sinless perfection, because we're still in our flesh. We can still be tempted. But our vision, our walk, our aim, our faith is for a perfect work in this life to be achieved and done. And it is on the basis of believing. That is why we hold up to perfection, and that is why we're moving on to perfection. Because Jesus decreed this. I will read it again. Therefore you shall be perfect, just as your Father in heaven is perfect. Jesus made no mistake in what he said there. And he said, all he's asked of us is simply to believe what he has said over his disciples, over his people, and over his church. And let him do the rest. Let him work that perfect work. How he does it, when he does it, the way he does it is entirely up to him. He's sovereign, he's Lord, and he knows exactly what he's doing. But make no bones about it, that is what he's going to do with Full Gospel Assembly. Now we can either choose to remain in fellowship, coming together regular for this work to be done, or we can choose to look elsewhere or to compromise. But I can tell you one thing, if you haven't got that in your heart and vision, I don't believe you can be part of the Bride of Christ. That bride has to be made perfect without spot or blemish. She is being prepared, she's being made ready for marriage. We must know that work in our lives. It must be our experience. Whatever we go through, or even if we fall short, There must always be that knowing, that desire within our heart that this is all working together for good. This is preparing me for the marriage feast. We mustn't lose sight of this, brothers and sisters. We're still at times looking to the world, or look to our trials, or why am I still going through this? Why is this happening to me? I don't understand, whatever it is. Perfection moves beyond all of that. That's its work. That's what it's about. Perfection in our hearts is so that we have that perfect relationship with God. That whatever we go through, our eyes are fixed as a flint, looking to the kingdom, looking to Jesus. That's the ultimate work he's working with all of us. This is why I spoke the other week about taking no thought about those things of the world. God is bigger than your needs. He's bigger than your trials. He's bigger than whatever is happening. This is what he's trying to get over. And as we grasp this and we move into this, our faith is confessing this. This is all part of the work of perfecting us. We have to be perfected in faith. God is bringing us to a perfection and maturity of faith that we walk by and experience. Because all things are wrought by faith, by believing. This is why he said, if thou canst believe, all things are possible. It's on the basis that we receive by faith, by believing. It's on the basis today of receiving the fruit of this word into our lives. It's on the basis of believing. Not questioning. Not looking to yourself, because if you do, if you look away, this teaching is impossible. It's as you look to the Lord, it's as you take what you hear and you talk to God about these things, this is how you grow. This is why I'm always saying to you, take the seed of this word and what is sown into your hearts. Also make it your talk and conversation with Almighty God. This is how the overcomers grow. This is how you will be perfected. Because otherwise, it would just be impossible. You'll be groping around aimlessly. Always listening, but never changing. Never coming to that perfection, never maturing. We all of us should be experiencing this maturing, this changing taking place in our lives and hearts. This is why at times it can be good to look back over the year or over 5 years or 10 years and ask yourself honestly, have I changed? Have I developed? Am I growing? Because that is what it's about. Any farmer, any person who has a nursery, looks for growth. Growth is essential to a farmer. Growth is essential to a nurseryman. As they sow the seed for the new harvest, that is what it's all about. And so it is exactly the same in our lives, it's exactly the same for Full Gospel Assembly. Amen. Praise God. Again, Heavenly Father, we thank you for our meeting today. Thank you for bringing us online. Lord, we believe that we've been enriched by your word. Father, may it become reality to us. May we live this. May we know that we are on the road to perfection, just as you are perfect. May our faith just believe it, because you decreed it. You said it first. And so all things are possible to them that believe. Father, I pray that you will bless, preserve, and keep us all. We confess that by your stripes we were healed at Calvary. We thank you, Father, that we believe that you provide for our every need, so that that releases us to be able to look to you and fellowship and commune with you. We believe, Father, that we do not walk the way of the world. We believe, Father, that you will deliver us from the evil one, from temptation. We believe that you will show us that way of escape. We believe, Father, that you are working with our wills and our minds so that we can will to do your will. We believe, Father, that we take up our cross daily and follow you. We believe, Father, that the Holy Spirit, who's empowered us, is doing these deep, deep changes in our life and very being. And we believe, Father, that Jesus is coming soon to take us home. And that is why we look up and we look away from the things of this world. And we look fully to Jesus, who is the author, finisher of our faith.
Constancy, follow the master. There's no discouragement shall make him once relent. His first avowed intent to be a builder.